بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد ولا أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We've gathered this evening to commemorate the eve of the Shahadat of our 8th Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa Raza alayhi salatu wa salam. Such events and gatherings basically are expression of our mawadda and love for the Ahlul Bayt, and that is based on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet, that ask your ummah, your community, that I don't ask for anything in return for the hard work that I've done to bring the guidance of Allah to you, but for only one thing, and that is to love my family. So it's a divine commandments. It's not just the wish of the Prophet. And therefore we, you know, have the celebrations of the events related to Ahlul Bayt, as well as commemorations for the said events related to them. Our 8th Imam is, if I may use this term, one of the most famous of the later Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. And that can be, you know, seen when you look at the later Imams, the 9th Imam, 10th Imam, and 11th Imam, the way they were addressed by the community in general. All the Imams before, until the 8th Imam, they would be called Yabna Rasulullah, referring to the Prophet, that, oh, the son of the Prophet. You know, it means, of course, not immediate, the descendants. But when it came to the 9th Imam, 10th Imam, 11th Imam, the most common term used by the Shias was Yabna Rida. Means even for 11th Imam, they would call him Yabna Rida because of the fame of Imam Rida alayhi salam in the Ummah in general. And there are some reasons for it, whether it's his, you know, extraordinary journey from Medina to Merv and his interaction with the people all along in that route, as well as the exposure that he got because of Ma'mun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own mysterious ways of doing things. You know, if he can raise Musa alayhi salam under the shadow of Fir'aun, if Imam wanted to give this fame to Imam Rida alayhi salam and exposure to him, at the expense of Ma'mun Rashid, this is not a surprise at all. And so, keeping that in mind, I have three items for you in this majlis. One is to look at one of his special titles given to him by the previous Imams. And then one example from his seerah, and then we will talk a little bit more about the importance of ziyarat of the Imam before we conclude with the Masayib. Salawat Man Ekbar. There is a very interesting narration that we have in our hadith sources, where we are told that, you know, the sixth imam, as well as the seventh imam, used to refer to the eighth imam as Alim Ali Muhammad. Let me read to you the narration that we have that Anna Musa ibn Ja'far kan yaqul li banihi. The seventh imam used to, you know, say to his sons, هذا أخوكم علي بن موسى عالم عالم محمد. Your brother Ali is عالم عالم محمد. He is the learned one from Ali Muhammad. فاسألوه عن أديانكم. Whenever you have issues about religion, refer to him. فاحفظوا ما يقول لكم. And then the seventh imam says to his sons, فإني, remember this, فإني سمعت أبي جعفر بن محمد غير مرة يقول لي. He says, I have heard my father saying to me more than once, repeatedly he has said to me, إن عالم آل محمد لفي صلبك. That, O Musa, so this is the sixth imam saying to his son, the seventh imam, that the alim of Ali Muhammad is going to be from you, from your loins. وَلَيْتَنِي أَدْرَكْتُهُ. Sixth imam says, I wish I would meet him. But we know that the eighth imam was born later on. So he hasn't seen his grandfather, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq has not seen his grandson. But just the you know, this wish that the sixth imam has, لَيْتَنِي أَدْرَكْتُهُ. I wish I could see him. This itself says quite a lot about Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And then he says, فَإِنَّهُ سَمِيُّ عَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلِيٍ. Because he is named as the same name as Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali. Salawat upon the Ekbarar. Why is the eighth imam known as Alim Ali Muhammad? And this is a title given to him by his grandfather, affirmed by his father. All the imams were blessed with special knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not only Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Rather, we actually have narrations that when it comes to the imams, when it comes to their fawail, you know, the qualities and virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, they are all equal. Of course, then, you know, the imam says, of course, Rasulullah and Ali have their own status. Status is issue is a different one, but when it comes to the qualities, for example, the infallibility or the issue of knowledge, they are all same. Rasulullah is Madinatul Ilm. Ali is the Bab and the gate of that city of knowledge. You know, when you look at Imam Sajjad, you have the books like Sahifah Sajjadiyah, which reflects, you know, the knowledge that Allah has given to him. You look at the fifth imam known as Baqir Ulum al-Nabiyyin, the one who exposed the knowledge of the Anbiya to the Ummah. Then the sixth imam is known as the founder of the Shia Ja'fari Fiqh, because of the opportunity he had to explain the Shi'i perspective as compared to the other emerging fiqh of, you know, Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa. And Shafi'i and Hanbali came later on. And so even Imam Musa al-Kazim had been blessed with that knowledge. The Imam, Imam Jawad, who came, one of the youngest of the Imam, in spite of his very young age, you know, his knowledge was known, especially in this debate that he, Mamun Rashid, organized between the Chief Justice and Imam Jawad. And then we come to Imam Ali al-Naqi, Imam Hassan al-Askari. All of them have been blessed with knowledge. Our present Imam, we are told, the ahadith is that when he makes his appearance, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif, the advancement of all the human civilizations from Adam to that day. would be considered like 1 out of 25 shares of the knowledge. Imam will bring the remaining 24 shares. And so, you know, the knowledge has been given to all. So then the question comes up, why is Imam Rida alayhi salam known as Alimu Ali Muhammad? That learned Imam of Ahlul Bayt. And this is where we have to understand the history of Anbiya. All the prophets came with the same message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the miracles, the mu'jiza given to the Anbiya were not same. Musa alayhi salam came with one miracle, Isa came with another one, the Prophet came with something else. And this is where we come to realize that they were all Nabi, they were all prophets, but their miracles given to them depended on the situation, the time and the space that they were. Musa alayhi salam lived at a time where sorcery was considered to be a very talented, expertise of those days. People would, respect them very highly. Even the king, Fir'aun, would respect them and ask for their counsel and issues. And so Musa alayhi salam comes with his extraordinary miracle of this asa, where the walking stick, he can put it down and it can turn into real serpents. Whereas what the sorcerers were doing was only tricks of, illusion of the eyes. And that's why we see when he came to the court of Fir'aun and the sorcerers did their own magic and Musa alayhi salam put down his asa, the first group in that audience from the public and the officials of Fir'aun's government and the sorcerers, the first group actually to submit to the message of Musa alayhi salam were these magicians and the sorcerers, because they were expert in their own task or whatever they were doing, and they realized that he is not doing what we do. This is not illusion of eyes, playing tricks. This is something different. And that's why they are the first one in Quran. The Quran puts their words where they say, "Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen." We believe in the Lord of the universe, Rabb Musa, the Lord of Musa, not only Musa Nabi, Rabb Musa wa Harun, and even his successor. And this is where, just a digression, we believe in Rabbul Alameen, La ilaha illallah. We believe in Muhammadun Rasulullah. And just as those people said, we also believe in the Lord of Harun, we say Aliyun Waliullah. And so that's the example of Musa. Isa alayhi salam, he came at a time when there were people expert in medical science of those days. And because of their ability to cure people who were not feeling well, they were highly respected in the society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this mu'jiza, this miracle of curing the blind and the leper without using any medicines or herbs, just by his hand, for example. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gave him the power to bring a dead person back to life. And so we see the mu'jizas changes. You come to the days of our Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although the era before Islam is known as Jahiliyyah, it doesn't mean they were totally ignorant. No, it just means Jahiliyyah in the sense of morality. Otherwise, when it comes to their Arabic language and the talent of poetry, they were at the peak. One of the most important events in the Arab society before Islam was this fair that used to have. This is more like a trade fair, Bazar-e-Okaz, where even the poets will come and present the best of their poetry. And one, the best one was chosen annually, and that was actually then placed inside the Kaaba. You know, as if the, you know, plaque for that person. And those are actually some of the poetry has survived even in Islam. When you go and study Arabic literature, adabiyat, or one of the things that you read at a higher level would be those pre-Islamic poetry, because it was of a very high standard. And so Rasulullah comes at that time, somebody who has not gone to school at all, and he brings the Quran, the Arabic, you know, speech written in their language, where Quran challenges that if you can bring a book like this, if you can bring 10 surahs like it, if you can bring, you know, one surah like it, yet these people were not able to come with anything comparable to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat Quran Akbar. So then we come to the Islamic era. When you look at the era of the Khulafa, live the Khulafa of the early days. Look at the Banu Umayyah. And then Banu Abbas. If there was any Khalifa who was known to be learned, was Ma'mun Rashid. It is during his time that he actually promoted this whole process of, you know, getting these books from Latin and Greek to be translated into Arabic and other languages. He himself knew Persian and Greek language beside Arabic. And he had this passion of gathering scholars of Muslim and non-Muslim, you know, groups. He would even sometimes sit down with them and participate in discussion and debates. So he was unlike other Khulafa of the past or the later ones. And it's interesting that in that background, Imam Rawa alayhi salam emerges with his, you know, era of imamat. And the way mysterious Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned that Ma'mun Rashid invites, you know, because he was changing these tactics that used by his father Harun. Harun was a very brutal ruler. Ma'mun Rashid more like a diplomatic fellow. Their motivations were the same, but the strategies and the methods changed. And Ma'mun Rashid invites Imam to come to Marv. And that's where you see that he is in a way trying to expose Imam to the ulama and see whether he is able to stand up against the scholars of the Muslim groups as well as non-Muslims. And in each and every debate and discussion that Imam Rida alayhi salam had in Marv, whether it was the Muslim scholars or the non-Muslim scholars there, in every case, Ma'mun Rashid realized that I cannot put his status down. And that is why we see that Imam Rida alayhi salam is mentioned by his grandfather and his father as Alimu Ali Muhammad. Salawat Quran Akbar. Ikbar aur salawat. I have mentioned some of the debates of Imam Rida alayhi salam in different, you know, occasions, especially in the viladas of eighth Imam. But tonight here, just one sample from a lengthy discussion that Imam has with the Muslim scholars. And they were the one who would initiate. Actually, Ma'mun Rashid would come. Ma'mun Rashid himself will come with very interesting questions. And one was about the difference between, is there a difference between Ali Rasul and Ummat Rasul? Ali Rasul means the community, the Muslims. And Ali Rasul means the family of Rasulullah. Especially we are talking about the Imams. And the discussion was, aren't they all same? On the same level? And this is where Imam Radha alayhi salam says, no, there is a difference between Ali Rasul and Ummat Rasul. Even in some of the laws. And he gives different points. I would like to share with you one of the common issues, and that is, this is proof number 7 that Imam Radha alayhi salam presented to this Muslim ulama about the superiority of Ali Rasul over Ummat Rasul. Salawat pranayak barara. Imam says, Amma Sabi'a. After each one of them, he would ask them, so, do you agree or not? And then he will go to the next one. Fa'amma Sabi'a. He says, the 7th one is referring to the ayat of Quran. Fayaqulullah. He recites this ayat, very famous, we know from Surah Ahzab, ayat number 56. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And the simple translation is that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels, they do salawat on the Nabi. So all you who believe, you also do salawat on him wa sallimu taslima. This latter part, this is where, you know, the Imam says that when this ayat was revealed, those who still have some doubts about this, they asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, قَدْ عَرَفْنَا التَّسْلِيمَ عَلَيْكَ. That we know, سَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمَ means doing salam. Although there are two different meanings of it, and both are valid in their own way. It also means sallimu taslima means to submit yourself to him. And sallimu taslima could also mean doing salam to the Prophet. So they said that, Ya Rasulullah, arafna taslim alayka. We know how to say assalamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. Fakayfa as-salat alayka. How do we do with this salawat? فَقَالَ Imam quotes the hadith of the Prophet, تَقُولُونَ You should say, اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَعَالِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. This is the longer form of salawat. The shortest one is the one we normally do. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ
Muhammad, brothers, may I ask everyone please to stand and move forward, please. There are people a bit waiting outside. Please just stand and move forward, gents and ladies. Thank you. But Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad salawat. Please, one more time. Please just stand, please, and move forward. And do not block the doorways, please. Masali Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Thank you.
Now, there's a lot of discussion about it, but just stick to the hadith and the way Imam talked about it in this debate and discussion. And so after narrating this hadith of the Prophet that salawat on me is to be done, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. فَهَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ مَعَاشِرُ النَّاسِ فِي هَذَا اِخْتَلَافٌ And Imam says, you know, you, the assembly of the ulama here, do you have any dispute on what I have said about it? قَالُوا لَا They said, no, we don't have any issues here. This is where Ma'mun al-Rashid now says, هَذَا مَا لَا اِخْتَلَافَ فِيهِ عَصْلًا وَعَلَيْهِ الْإِجْمَاعِ He says, yes, there is no dispute on this issue. There is unanimity among the people, among the Muslims, that you should do salawat on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. But then he says, فَهَلْ عِنْدَكَ فِي الْعَالِ شَيْءٌ عَوْضَحْ مِنَ هَذَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ He says, but do you have anything else in the Quran which emphasizes this importance of Ali Muhammad more clearly. So still it seems in his heart he has issues with the problem here. So Imam says, referring to him and the ulama, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ. He says, tell me about this ayat of Quran, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The very first ayat of Surah Yasin, referring to, Allah says, Yasin, O Yasin, by the Quran, the holy, the wise Quran, you are indeed a messenger of Allah, ala siratim mustaqim, on the right path. And so the Imam says, faman uniya biqawlihi yasin. Who is Yasin here? Faqala al-ulama, Yasin Muhammad, laysa fihi shak. Yasin is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is where Imam says that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an honor to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad where he has not given to anyone. And then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran only sends greetings to the Anbiya. For example, he says, in one ayat of Quran, surah number 37, surah As-Saffat, all these ayats actually quoted by the imam from that same surah, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. Salam on Nuh alayhi salam. Another ayat, Salamun ala Ibrahim. Salam on Ibrahim. Salamun ala Musa wa Harun. Then Imam says, وَلَمْ يَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ آلِ نُوحٍ. Allah has never said salam on Ali Nuh. وَلَمْ يَقُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. There is no ayat where he says salam on Ali Ibrahim. وَلَا قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ آلِ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. There is no ayat where Allah says salam on Ali Musa and Harun. But when it comes to Yasin, he says in that same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Salamun ala Ali Yasin. He had already taken the acknowledgement from them that who is Yasin? Yasin is Muhammad. Then he recites this ayat, Salamun ala Ali Yasin. He says, there is no salam on Ali Nuh, Ali Ibrahim, or Ali Musa or Harun, but when it comes to Yasin, our prophet, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Salam ala Ali Yasin. Now there is a point here, when you read the Quran, you will see that the wordings are Alif Lam, and then you have Yasin separated. Many times they say, well, it doesn't mean Ali Yasin. It means Ilyas, one of the prophets. Well, Ilyas, you don't separate Alif Lam from Ye. It's only one word, complete. But you will see even in the modern, version of the print of Quran that we have, Alif Lam has been separated from Yasin. So it's not Ilyas or Ilyasin. It actually, because there is... the way the words have been recited sometimes in Quran, there would be two different ways of reading it. Even Surah Fatiha, for example. You can say Maliki Yawmiddin, or you can say Maliki Yawmiddin. It doesn't make any difference. Your namaz would be okay whether you say Maliki Yawmiddin or Maliki Yawmiddin. So sometimes you see some of the words have variations in the way it is written and recited. And here we see that Imam is reciting in that way, Salamun ala Ali Yasin. He says this refers to Ali Muhammad. Salawat Pranay Akbar. None of the ulama there objected to that. Ma'mun Rashid actually says, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ. أن في معدن النبوة شرعه هذا وبيانه. فهذه السابعة. He says that I knew that the explanation of these ayat can come from معدن النبوة, the treasure of نبوت, referring to the imams of the Ahlul Bayt. صلوات من أكبر. And so this is the reason why our Imam especially is known as Alim Ali Muhammad. All of them are Alim Ali Muhammad, but this is specifically keeping in the historical context in which he lived and the way he interacted with the ulama at the time. Salawat upon the Akbar. One example from his life and seerah for ourselves. And that is about the issue of, how to give charity. This is something I talked about it different times, in Friday khutbahs also, that it doesn't matter how much you are giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more concerned about how are you giving, not how much. And when we say how you are giving, what I mean is that, how is the recipient taking it? Is he feeling the humiliation in that process? Or is his, feelings hurt in the way the charity is being given? And this is where in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, if you look at towards the end of it, there is a whole passage about charity. And interestingly, in there Allah doesn't say how much you should give. The whole emphasis is how you should give. Rather, I repeat myself and I don't, not ashamed on that. Even Allah repeats many things in the Quran again and again. There is an ayat which I would like you to remember all the time. We know in namaz, you turn this way or that way, your namaz is batil. We are familiar with the word batil. If you eat something or drink something when you are fasting, your roza becomes batil. You do this, batil. You go for a hajj and you violate the rules of ihram, your ihram or that act is batil there. But we rarely hear the word that when you give in charity, your charity also can become batil. And there is an ayat about it, very clearly. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in Surah Baqarah at the end. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُهُ بِلِيهِمْ لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتُكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْعَضَى. Do not make your charity باطل, null and void, by بِالْمَنِّ وَالْعَضَى, by giving it in such a way that the recipient feels that he is humiliated or hurt. أَذَى means أَزِيَّت. Look at this example that we have from Imam Rida alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat upon the Akbar. Narration is from one of his companions, Yasa' bin Hamza, where he says, I was sitting in a gathering with the Imam. We are talking to him, and there were many, many people around talking about halal and haram. People were asking questions. And then we saw somebody came in, very tall person. He came, and when he got the opportunity, he addressed the Imam and he says, As-salamu alayka, ya ibn Rasulillah. He says, oh, the son of the Prophet, salam on you. Rajulun min muhibbika wa muhibbi abaika wa ajdadik. I am one of those who love you and your parents and your forefathers. Masdari min al-hajj. He says, basically, I'm coming from Hajj. However, I ran out of my, money and resources. And I'm not able to continue my journey and fulfill my needs until I get home. So here I'm stuck in this place. We don't know exactly where this conversation is taking place. And so if you can help me with the money, that I can continue my journey, and I promise you that when I reach to my place, I have enough. I will spend the same amount and give in sadaqa. And so he's basically asking for, you know, relief till he reaches home, and then he will take care of it and give it in, you know, the sadaqa. Because falastu mawdi'a sadaqa. He says, I am not among those who are eligible for sadaqa or charity. Imam told him, you know, ijlis rahimakullah. You know, may Allah have mercy on you, sit down. And so he continued his discussion until it ended and the people started leaving. And this person, Yasa' bin Hamza, says, then it was only me and Sulaiman al-Ja'fari and Khuzaima and the Imam and this person. So there were three, four of them still there. He says, Imam then turned to them and said, do you allow me to go inside my home? Look at his akhlaq. You know, he wants to leave the gathering, and he's asking his own audience, that do you allow me to go inside? And they said, you know, Imam, you know, it's your decision. You don't need to ask us. So Imam goes, and after a while he comes back, but he doesn't come into that room. He comes by the door, and the door was closed. But there was an opening on the upper part of the door. An Imam, basically this person was from Khurasan. And so Imam from behind the door says, Ain al Khurasani? Where is Khurasani? And he says, Ha anava, you know, Imam, I'm here. So Imam then extended his hand with the bag of money. And he says, خُذْ هَذَهِ الْمِئَةِ دِينَارِ, take this 200 dinars and use it for your need until you reach to your home. وَلَا تَصَدَّقْ بِهَا عَنِّي. There is no need to give in sadaqah when you reach home. This is my gift to you. فَخْرُجْ وَلَا أَرَاكَ وَلَا تَرَانِي. Take this money and then leave. I don't want you to see me, and I don't want to see you. Why did he do that? So this person left with the money. And then Imam comes in that room. Sulaiman al-Ja'fari was there. He says, you know, Imam, may my life be sacrificed for you. You gave him. You were generous and you were merciful to him. Why did you hide your face from him? Why you didn't want to see his face and you didn't want him to see you? This is where Imam says something very interesting. He says, مَخَافَةَ عَنْ عَرَى ظُلُّ الصُّوَالِ فِي وَجْهِهِ لِقَضَاءِ حَاجَتَهُ. See, he was not just an ordinary beggar. He was an honorable, respectful member of the society, who had even enough in his own home. But temporarily he had run out of money. He says, I was afraid that when I'm giving him that money, I might sense this humiliation on his face. I didn't want to see that, and I didn't want him to feel humiliated when he's accepting that money from me. And then the Imam says, that there is a hadith from my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That when you give charity where you're not known, you know, there is a way of giving charity publicly, you can even give anonymously. You know, this is where Imam says that the Prophet says, Al-mustatir bil-hasana ta'dilu sab'een hijjatan. Giving charity without the donor being known to the people, this is equal to 70 hajj, as far as the reward is concerned. And this is where we realize that, you know, Imam is practically giving us the example that it is not only how much you are giving, we have to make sure that the way we are giving, the other person on the receiving end should not feel humiliated at all. Salawat. Let me now end towards the importance of the ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And it's interesting here that just as his grandfather and his father named him as Alim Ali Muhammad, the seventh Imam actually talked about the importance of visiting the shrine of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Although, you know, Imam was still not Shaheed. This is when Imam Musa Kazim is alive. He says, "Man dhara qabra waladi Ali, kana lahu inda Allahi sab'una hijjatan mabrura." He says, "Whoever visits the grave of my son Ali, the reward that he will receive will be 70 hajj, which are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the companion there, Sulaiman al-Maruzi, from the seventh Imam, he says, "Sab'una hijja." Imam, did you say 70 hajj? The reward of visiting the shrine of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. He says, did you say 70 or 7? And this is where Imam then increases the number. He says, yes, not only that, وَسَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ هِجَّةٍ 70,000 hajj. Means the reward will be even multiplied more. And this person was surprised even more. And this is where Imam says, remember, you know, whoever visits the shrine or spends the night there, كَمَنْ زَارَ اللَّهُ فِي عَرْشِهِ. It's as if he is going to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around the throne and arsh of Allah in the heavens. You know, we have this concept, of course, you don't go and visit Allah personally. What it means is that we know that there is arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Arsh al-Azim, Quran, we have a hadith, a dua where we address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are angels who surround, go around and do tawaf of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The anwar, the light of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad did the same thing. The malaika go around. And in the day of qiyamah also, the malaika and the mu'mineen would be doing the tawaf of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as we go and do the tawaf of the house of Allah in this dunya. And this is where Imam further explains that. He says, you know, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be great anbiya from the early days and the latter days, and awliya of Allah who will be doing the tawaf around the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is on the day of judgment. He says, then a curtain will be erected, and on the other side of the curtain would be فَتَقَعْدُ مَعَنَا زُوَّارُ قُبُورِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. Those of our followers who had gone for visiting the graves of the Imams, that will be a place reserved for them. So this is after the Anbiya and the Imam, the curtain would be there, and that place would be reserved for those who are Zuwar of the graves of the Imams. But then he says something very interesting. He says, however, those who will be placed in the priority lane, if I may use our own term, that will be reserved for the Zuwar Qabr Wali or Waladi Ali. The first spot would be reserved for those who are the visitors of the grave of my son Ali. Salawat Pranek Barak. There is a statement from Imam Ridha alayhi salam himself where he says that three places I will be there for you, for those who are my zawar. When the Naam-e-Amal and the scrolls of deed will be given to your hands on the day of Qiyamah. I will be there to help you. When you have to go through the Sirat, the bridge, he says, I'll be there to help my Zuwar. And especially when the deeds are being, you know, they are being weighed between good and bad, I will be there to support you. And so this emphasis that we see is very unusual about the ziyarat of the grave of Imam Rida alayhi salam in Mashhad. Actually, we have a statement from the ninth Imam. He was asked, somebody has said, should I go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or the ziyarat of your father's grave? Those days. And the number of sawab which have been mentioned for even Imam Hussain alayhi salam are very great. But Imam Jawad said that I would ask you to go and do the ziyarat of my father. Why? He gives a reason. He says Imam Hussain alayhi salam is accepted by all the Shias, whether they are Shia Isnashari, Zaydi, Kaysaniya, Ismailiyya, Bukharis, you see in Karbala, in very large number. He says, but if you look at history later on, by the time of the 7th and 8th Imam, all other groups went away. The number of people coming to the ziyarat of my father is going down. And therefore he says, you know, you see the emphasis about going for the ziyarat of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And even now, it's not a matter of comparison here. You look at Arba'een. Look at the shrine of Hussain ibn Ali. You know, the enemies tried to destroy it, to prevent the people from ziyarat. But we have 21 million people going for ziyarat of Hussain on Arba'een. And then you have this emphasis about going for the ziyarat of Imam Rida alayhi salam. You know, in ziyarat, why do we use this term, gharibul ghuraba? Ye jo unwan hai ziyarat mein Imam Rida alayhi salam ke liye, gharibul ghuraba ka unwan. Aap dekhein, hamare aimma ki qubur kahan pe hain? Ya to Jannatul Baqi mein hain, Madina mein, ya mulk Iraq mein hain. نجف ہے کربلا ہے کاظمین ہے سامرہ ہے اتنا دور دور نہیں ہے لیکن ایک ہی علاقے میں ہے لیکن ایک روزہ ہے امام کا جو بہت دور ہے صرف جیوگرافیکلی دور کی بات نہیں ہو رہی ہے یہ وہ امام تھے کہ جو اس سفر میں گئے تھے بالکل غریب الغرباء تھے غریب الوطن تھے مرف سے جب یہ قافلہ آ رہا تھا ہارون الرشید کا اور امام بھی ساتھ ساتھ تھے مرف میں جب قیام رہا اس وقت جو ہے مامون الرشید نے یہ ارادہ کر لیا تھا کہ امام کو اپنے راستے سے ہٹا دے اور امام اس وقت گھر والوں میں سے کوئی ساتھ نہیں تھا not a single person جب امام کو یہ پیغام ملا کہ مامون الرشید نے آپ کو کھانے پہ دعوت دی ہے امام سمجھ گئے کیا بات ہے لیکن علم غیب کا استعمال اپنے پرسنل لائف کے لیے نہیں ہوتا ہے امام نے اپنے خادم یاسر سے کہا کہ دیکھو تم ہمارے ساتھ چلو مامون الرشید کے گھر ہم جائیں گے جب باہر نکلیں اگر تم دیکھو کہ یہ ابا جو ہے ہم نے نارملی اپنے کندھے پر رکھی ہے سمجھنا ہم خیریت سے ہیں لیکن اگر تم دیکھو کہ یہ ابا جو ہے ہم نے اپنے سر کے اوپر رکھ لیے سمجھنا کہ خیر نہیں ہے مجھ سے بات مت کرنا خاموشی کے ساتھ میرے ساتھ چلنا اور مجھے کمرے میں پہنچا دینا عزدارانِ حسین امام رضا علیہ السلام گئے ہیں مامون الرشید کے پاس اور اس نے جب وہ پیالی پیش کی ہے جس پر انگور تھے جس میں زہر ڈوبا ہوا تھا امام نے اسے تناول کرنے کے بعد میں احساس ہوتا ہے اٹھ جاتے ہیں, اسے کچھ نہیں کہتے. یاسر کی روایت, ہم نے دروازے کی طرف ہماری نظر تھی, دیکھا کہ جب دروازہ کھلا ہے امام رضا علیہ السلام نے اپنے آپ ابا کو سر کے اوپر رکھا تھا, زہر لگ چکا تھا, اور امام جو ہے یاسر بھی خاص خاموشی کے ساتھ امام کے ساتھ چلتا گیا. امام دو تین دن جو ہے اسی اذیت اور قبر میں کرب میں گزارتے ہیں. غریب الغربا اس لیے ہم لوگ کہتے ہیں کہ وہ بالکل تنہا تھے, گھر والا کوئی نہیں تھا قریب, یاسر تھا خدمت کے لیے, اور اسی حالت میں امام کی وفات واقع ہوتی ہے. آج ہم لوگ امام جواد کی خدمت میں جمع ہوئے ہیں پرسہ دینے کے لیے. بس ایک جملہ ہم کہنا چاہیں گے کہ امام جواد, پھر بھی روایات میں ملتا ہے کہ آپ قوت اعجاز سے اس قاعدے کے مطابق کہ امام کے نماز جنازہ اور غسل جو ہے ایک معصوم ہی دے سکتا ہے, آپ معجزہ سے مدینہ سے توس آئے تھے, بابا کو غسل بھی دیا ہے, کفن بھی پہنایا ہے, اور نماز بھی ادا کی ہے کمرے کے اندر, اور اس کے بعد آپ چلے گئے ہیں, اور بعد میں بڑی عزت و احترام کے ساتھ آپ کے بابا کے جنازے کو اٹھایا گیا, ملے عام میں جا کے نماز جنازہ ہوئی اور دفن کیا گیا ہے احترام کے ساتھ. مولا سے صرف اتنا کہیں گے کہ مولا آپ نے وہ قوت اعجاز کی بنیاد پر مدینہ سے توس کا فاصلہ جو ہے طے کیا ہے, لیکن پرسے کے طور پہ ہم اس بیٹے کی مثال دینا چاہیں گے کہ جو اتنا دور نہیں تھا, آپ دیکھتے ہیں خیمہ گاہ کہاں ہے اور مقتل حسین کہاں ہے. آپ زیارت کے لیے جاتے ہیں, دیکھ سکتے ہیں جہاں خیمہ تھا اور حسین کو جہاں قتل کیا تھا, زیادہ فاصلے کی بات نہیں ہے, لیکن زین العابدین اپنے بابا کے بالین پہ نہیں پہنچ سکے. حسین شہید بھی ہو گئے اور عابد بیمار وہاں پہنچ نہ سکے, بلکہ پھپھی نے جب خیمے کے پردے کو اٹھایا ہے سید سجاد دیکھتے ہیں ایک نیزہ بلند ہوا, بابا کے سر کو دیکھا ہے اور آخر میں یہی کہا ہے, السلام علیکہ یا ابا عبداللہ, السلام علیکہ یا ابتا. بس امام جواد سے کہیں گے یہ صرف شہادت کی بات نہیں ہے. دوسرے دن جب سید سجاد قید ہو کے جب روانہ ہوئے, اس وقت بابا کے لاشے کو بے گور و کفن کربلا میں چھوڑ کے گئے. لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. خداوند اس قرآن کو قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوند عالم اسلام میں امن اور صلح کی فضا پیدا کر, شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تاجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.